at me.
Othello on the beat.
What's going on, everybody? Jay Wright with Frustrated Black Christian Podcast, episode number 25. Today is Flashback Friday, y'all. I'm getting ready to play an old podcast of another podcast that I used to be a part of, which was called 5702. It was with my cousins, my brothers, Alden and Dedrick. And this episode is just a feel-good episode. It's entitled Member When. I know the proper way to say it is Remember When, but we say Member when we're talking to each other. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about what fuels you. So I want you all to just sit back, have a good time, laugh, enjoy the stories, and I hope that you get something out of the conversation. All right, so without any further ado, here's episode 25, Flashback Friday with 5702. Member When, what fuels you? All right, peace. All right, let's roll. Alden, you got a member win.
I definitely do. Yesterday was the Royal Rumble, and it brought back a lot of memories. I don't know if you guys remember, but inside the Jennings family, we kind of had our own little World Wrestling Federation. Well, they call it entertainment now, but Royal Wrestling Federation back in the day. Mm-hmm. Well, we would wrestle and get hit with the garbage cans and the wrestling moves. But I want to go back to one specific day. I don't know if y'all remember this, but we was at Auntie Evelyn's house. I don't know if y'all was there or not. Yeah, it might have just been me. And, you know, at the time, I was the quote-unquote Intercontinental Champion. And Carl, Lil Carl wanted to wrestle me for the title. And so we was wrestling and whatnot. And he kicked me in my stomach. And then he hooked me. And for the pedigree, if you don't know what the pedigree is Triple H's finish move. Go check it out on YouTube. It's devastating if it's hit the wrong way.
And if they stink under there. Get it straight. Take a bath before you pedigree people.
If that gooch stink. If that gooch stink. Ooh. Y'all don't know what a gooch is. Go ask Mr. James. He'll tell you what that gooch is. That gooch stink.
Hold on, man.
That pedigree would not be blessed at all.
So he hooked me for the pedigree. And and well, they had wood floors, and when you do the pedigree, you just supposed to hook their arms at the beginning, then let their arms go when you jump up to do the move. He never let my arms go. And my face hit the wooden floor, and yeah, my nose is bleeding, my lips is bleeding. I cried for a little bit, but hey, I think I still won the match, if I'm not mistaken.
He lost that match, probably.
I probably concussed.
He does, but he lost that match. I can tell you he lost that match.
Yeah, it was
he
over.
He tapped out. In our family, if you ever went there, you lost your title. What else?
Definitely.
You lost your respect and you lost your title.
My mama bailed me out plenty.
It's time to go.
Throwing the towel, Dedrick. Throwing the towel, Dedrick. Stop getting up.
Yeah, it's time to get out of there. You have lost.
Oh,
You lost your pride. You lost your championship if you ever came with the ooh.
Yeah, so I think I lost the match. Mm. I wanted to say I won, but they're telling me I lost, so I probably lost.
You lost.
So that was my member win, because watching the Royal Rumble last night just brought back some good family memories. But that one wasn't good for me, because, you know, nose bleeding, lip bleeding. Man, and I lost.
Man, we used to have some battles, boy.
Yeah.
Hey, especially grandma and granddaddy yard. Mm-hmm. Man, oh man. One time we had a brawl. All of us was out there, man.
Yeah.
And we had
nephews, uncles.
We was hitting each other with chairs and
trash cans.
I remember Uncle Steve went whacking.
Yeah,
with that trash, with that chair, and when I got out the way, man. You used to have some battles with that. Yeah. I don't know if y'all remember. This was might have been before y'all time, but across the street from grandma's house, that's where we get the name 5702. If y'all don't know, anyways, but across the street from my grandparents' house was a guy, one of my uncle's best friends, named Ucarry. I don't know if y'all remember Ucarry.
I don't think so.
Yeah, this is before y'all time. So he had this tall fence.
Mm-hmm.
So one time me and Sheldon stayed the night over grandma's house, and I think they had like a ladies retreat or something like that. And we stayed with Chris, Steve, Malcolm, and I think Kent was there too. Kent had to be there because he was like a teenager back then. And when I say they went over there, and they wouldn't let me go over there, but I watched from across the street. When they would say the whole neighborhood was over there fighting, the whole neighborhood was fighting, and it was crazy.
Wow.
And I knew from that day I would dominate my cousins. And Alden say he was in the intercontinental champion. I was always the world champion.
I was always
the world champion.
I'm not going to act like he wasn't. He was always the world champion.
I was the Ric Flair of that time. Well, no, I'm going to give Uncle Chris had to be the Ric Flair of that time. That man was, he's the one that started it with the nephews. And, you know, he's the one that they toughened us up, man. So
that's bad. Don't work.
And it ain't due to us.
That freak can't get enough of you. Okay.
Uncle Chris don't play no games. Let me tell you, he has outdid some of his nephews.
Yes, sir. All his nephews.
All of them.
No, I'm talking about as far as younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know he got younger kids than Alden.
Yeah.
And Dedrick, you got a little one. Sheldon got a little one. They might got a little one. Mm-hmm. And I think my baby and his youngest are like neck and neck.
Yeah, about the same age.
So, you know, he
still putting in work.
Might be what Fred Sanford said, it might be snow on the roof, but there's still a fire. And that brother got a fire. That brother got a fire. So shout out to Uncle Chris. Shout out to, you know, the whole Uncle Steve, Uncle Mal, Uncle Kent, those guys toughing us up. And, you know, we are who we are today, not just because of our parents, but because of them, toughing us up. And I try to be the same with my nephews and stuff like that. And I know Alden the same way too. And Dedrick with the young men that he come in contact with, we try to be those role models the way that our uncles were there for us.
True.
So shout out to the uncles.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So did you have another memory win? No, that was it?
That was the one.
That was the one. He got pedigreed on the wood.
Yeah.
Alden was the Mick Foley. He literally was Mick Foley. He got pedigreed on wood. He got thrown off a roof.
Yeah.
He put got in put in the dryer.
Yeah.
That man had a cage match in the dryer.
Had him. Alden wasn't no little gentleman. He was a thick one. So imagine a thick person tumbling in the dryer. You know how shoes would be.
It's unbalanced.
And he goes, boom. Boom. Boom.
This show has gone off the rails.
Boom.
Boom. Oh, God.
Red hat on. Put him in the dryer. Red Tony O'Neeny in town. Put him in the dryer.
This podcast is going off the rails.
So don't let him fool you with the coolness. Now that he cool, he was the Mick Foley back in the day. So,
that's hilarious.
All right. So, just right quick, this weekend news, President Biden is making moves already, man.
He's making moves.
He has signed a executive order for the $1,400 to be released. Just waiting on things to be finalized within the Congress. And they said mid-February, which we are the first day in January, I mean, February already.
Right.
We are here already. Mid-February to the end of March, you should be receiving your $1,400 and the rest of your stimulus. So he is keeping his word, so to speak. So far, so good. And he has put a pause on all student loans until October 1st. So
I just need him to clear my eyes out.
I don't know. I think the economy will lose if they clear debt out like that. They might chop it in half.
Okay, he can.
They may do that now.
He can chop it in half, but you clear clear everything under $10,000.
I'm like, man, I clear your debt, but I gotta get caught up pedigree.
I ain't taking no more pedigree.
Your name Alden, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to clear your debt, right? I got this young man that's about to come out because he's going to pedigree you. I think you might know him.
Mr. Walker, CJ Walker.
Call him C-Walk. Shout out to C-Walk.
C-Walk.
I owe you a pedigree when I see you.
That was my guy, man. C-Walk, man. Me, Sheldon, Mario, and Carl, we would spend countless days just before the Dedrick and the Mikes and the Aldens came along. That was the four amigos.
They was the destiny child of men. That's what that
was. Wait. Who was LaToya?
Okay. So you want to talk about destiny child?
Who was LaToya?
Let's do a quick memory since he want
to
do this.
I knew he was about to say
since he want to call somebody out. Let's do it. So we was all at grandma's house, right? Christmas weekend. We all spent the night over there.
And
all
right, man. You got it.
All had our little, you remember back in the day, we had our portable CD player. So, you know, me back in the day, I was listening to Jay-Z, man. I was bumping my Jay-Z. Carl was in the Dr. Dre 2001. I forgot what Mario and Sheldon might have been listening to. But here it is. Dedrick was with us. So we're like all talking about what we listening to or whatever like that. So we're like, Dedrick, what you listening to? I don't know how this cat must have turned his volume up. All you hear is, my body to a bootylicious for you. Are you ready, ready for this jelly? I don't think you're ready for this jelly. Oh, I'm like, God. You in a room full of men, right? Listening to Destiny's Child.
See, what nobody never asked is how I got the CD. It was in Carl's case. So that means Carl had to be listening to it. I just took it out because my mama didn't let me watch TV like that. So all I knew was that one song.
And he was killing that bootylicious song. And that's why he got three kids, because he always think about that jelly.
No, I'm not.
And he wasn't ready for no jelly.
It's not so late. I just go to McDonald's and order a sweet tea. That's all I do, dog. I don't get into that no more.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, that's funny.
Since you want to bring up Destiny's Child, he was the biggest Destiny's Child.
Yeah, go.
He knew what was coming to. So, anyways, let's move on.
I ain't do my memory win.
You got go ahead. Yeah. That was just a
matter of fact. We're gonna go to that same day where he talking about.
Let's go to it.
Nah, you know, when you young, you know, you trying to hang with the big cousins, aka Destiny Child, back in the day. Me and Adam was like the crisscross in 2020. That's how we was back then. But anyway, I was trying to, you know what I'm saying, hang with them. They all in the back room. But they's in the back room. They was in the back room back there.
This episode is off the rails, I'm telling you, man.
And, you know, they was all hanging out, you know what I'm saying, laughing, whatever. So, this is around the time where I think the PS2 was coming out. It came out or whatever. And we all went over grandma's house. So I don't know if it was Carl that had a PS. It was a regular PlayStation first. That's what it was. And Carl had one. So I made it seem like I had like the connect to get the PlayStation over there, because they didn't have one at this time. It wasn't even there. So I called my cousin on the phone, which, matter of fact, it was Lodron.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't calling though, for real. I just asked my mom, can I hold a 5 seconds? Can I hold your phone, please? Because I need to make a call.
No, you didn't call me. You calling Mike. I was there.
Oh, it was Mike. It was a fake call though, whatever. It was
a fake call to Mike.
So I went, I said, well, when I get in this room, I'm going to impress the fellas. But I said, I could get this PS4. And they'd be like, man, you that dude, man. You that, come on, man. So I went in the room, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Had the screen on. This around the time they had it wasn't even T-Mobile yet. It was Primeco at the time.
Primeco, Altel.
Yeah, that's what it was. So I hit the button to just turn the screen on. So I was like, yeah, man, what you doing? Yeah. I was like, you think you can bring that PS4 when you come? Oh, my bad.
PS4. PlayStation.
Yeah, bring the PlayStation over here when you come over here. So I looked at him and I kind of gave him the thumbs up, like, bro, I got that. I got that. So I could get in. And right when I said I got that, the phone just started ringing. I said, hello? 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 Nah. Hey, y'all, I had accidentally hung up. I hit the button. I wanted to be cool because they wouldn't let us in.
We clowned Dedrick so bad. He was on the phone and that phone rung. I was like, boy, if you get out of here.
Oh, shoot.
I was mad at my daddy for calling my mama's phone.
That is funny.
Hey, that phone up. Get in here, mama. Dad, I'm trying to get the PlayStation.
Trying to be cool with
they
the
won't
phone.
Let me. Hey.
Oh, man. That's
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, I remember that. And we clowned Dedrick, so man,
golly.
Yeah, but that was a good time. Yeah. I couldn't stand Dedrick back in the day.
See,
I'm gonna be straight up with you. This whole episode might be just a member win. We might not get to the topic.
We might not get to the topic.
I was when I was 4 years old. I never forget this day, September 4th. I was home playing my Nintendo. 4 years old, 1989, September 4th, 1989, and I was 4 years old, and mama made me get off my game because my auntie Lisa, as she said, was about to have the baby, and she wanted to go there and check out the baby, and I was upset, and from that day, I solemnly swear that I would beat that baby every day that he came my way. And that baby happened to be Dedrick Charles Brown.
Oh, man.
AKA D-Nice. Nah, I'm just playing. But
he did. He beat me.
I beat you. I beat all y'all.
I still got scars on my neck.
I beat all y'all.
If LaDron invented diseases before there was any mesothelioma on your neck, you tie socks around your neck, put handcuffs on you, ain't make no sense.
Oh, Lord. Shoot.
I used to beat all of them. Man. Sheldon got it the worst out of all y'all, though. I used to beat Sheldon behind.
Sheldon got it.
He got it every day because that was my little brother. He stayed with me, and I beat Sheldon every day.
Man.
But Dedrick would come over there.
I hate it.
And
I just came to play the game.
This what happened.
He wanted to create men. Why?
This back in the day when we got for Christmas, we used to give, back in the day, $100 used to be a lot.
Oh, definitely.
So every year we would get $100 for Christmas. My daddy gave me, my brothers, and my sisters $100 for Christmas. So mama would try to control the $100 or whatever like that. What we were going to get. School clothes, underwear and all that stuff, drawers and all that kind of stuff. Mama, I'm like, man, nah, man. He gave me this $100 and I'm going to spend it. And I don't care if I got to take a whooping. I'm going to spend it the way I want to spend it. So anyways, I wanted a PlayStation. And I was going to get that PlayStation. And with $100 back in the day, $100 was a lot of money. True, I mean, think about it now. You know, that was 96, between 96, 98. That was a lot of money. Carry over now 20 years plus later.
That gas
about right.
You know what I'm saying? That's what
market value.
Yeah, it's market value. So anyway, I got the PlayStation. But I didn't get a memory card.
Ugh.
And my dad went ahead and got me the game that I wanted, which was, I know I'm dating myself, but it's all good. It was 98, because I'm going to tell you the game. It was called Game Breaker, NCAA Game Breaker 1999.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the game I got. And I played that game faithfully every day. Now, granted, I ain't have no memory card, so I, every time
memory
I had
card,
to start
$2.
Over. No, memory card wasn't no $2 back then. $2. It was about $20 or something like that.
$15, $20.
So I had to get me a memory card. I had to save up to get a memory card or whatever because I burnt my money getting that PlayStation. So I got the PlayStation, and I played it every day, and I had to start over every day, but I started faithfully over faithfully every day, and I had to create me a man.
I was
create a team. So this is when Dedrick come in. Dedrick will come in and want to play the game. So of course, if you coming in my room to play my games, you got to abide by my rules. And my rules is you gonna wait till I make this man. And this ain't super fast how it was back in the day. I mean, like it is now. You got to go to get that man all the way to 99. You got to get all the way there. Oh, so, okay, shit. I'm setting my man up to be sweet or whatever like that. And me and Deja go play. So about time, it's time for me to finish making my man. It took so long. By the time Dedrick was ready to play,
right,
it was time for Dedrick to go.
Every
go.
Every time.
Oh,
he always at the end of picking the cleats and the armbands. Hey, man, it's time to go. Dedrick, Mama, can we stay a little bit longer?
Oh, man.
Wait, you got the first game you got? You got a, the first game y'all got was... Nintendo.
No. I'm talking about this is the first thing I got personally. Myself. Okay. Now we've had every game system from Jump Street.
We passed them around too.
We had every game system we had.
That's true.
We had it. Whether from Nintendo, PlayStation, I think Atari, all of that. We had the Dreamcast, Nintendo 64. We had it all that junk. So, you know, we stayed with it. But that was the first game I bought personally where Sheldon couldn't, I didn't have to share with Sheldon. You could tell me to share with Sheldon.
Right, but,
I don't have to because this is my game, my toys. Because Sheldon was a mama's baby, so Sheldon did what mama wanted him. He got his clothes and he got his things or whatever like that. So I got my PlayStation and I was good to go. So, about time it was ready, I got my man ready to play. It's time for Dedrick to go. And Dedrick would be like, you know, it's time to go.
It was time, bro.
Yeah, me and Dedrick have had a lot of experience. All of us have a lot of experience. That's why we're so close today. Let's talk about another issue we had. I think you know where I'm going at.
I don't know. If it's the issue including Aldi, then...
No, this is not the issue including Aldi.
Let's see.
This is the issue. I stayed over Dedrick house one time. I had to be... 9 years old or something. Anyways.
This story makes me mad.
Dedrick had a drum set, a little kid drum set. You know the little kid drum set. It was a full set. Tom, snare, seat, cymbals, and everything. So
the seat was new. Let's just get that straight. The drum wasn't that old. It was new. I was gonna take that seat to church.
Oh man.
Sit next to Uncle Kent because Uncle Kent was playing it.
Anyways, so I wanted to get on the drums. I mean, if y'all don't know, I'm a pretty solid fella. I'm a big guy. And Dedrick is a little fella, and he was even smaller back then. And I was small, but I was big still back then. Anyways, I wanted to play them drums, so I got on the drum set and I started playing.
I knew I should have switched that seat.
I was playing that drum set, and all you hear was coo coo. I had to squish
the seat in half. How you tear the throne part off, but leave the bar sitting up? Like, bro, what? What in tarnation? That ass. Daddy. Hey, bro, I walked in my daddy's room with this one part of the seat and the other part in my hand. Daddy, sat on my seat, daddy. It came with the drum set. No, I can't play it.
I promise, I swore up and down that that seat was already raggedy. Me and Dedrick argue about this thing to this day. That seat, how raggedy that seat was. That's he said funny. That seat was brand new.
But, that is funny.
Yeah, we got into it, man. We get into it over it. we'll call each other every now and again to argue about
just
that.
Just to talk about
just it. Just to talk about that seat, because he tried to blame me about breaking that seat and whatever. So
that's funny.
Heated about that thing.
That's funny.
I think that Dedrick is probably one of the funniest, if not the funniest person in our family. I don't know.
Close.
Ryan is the funniest person.
No, he the best roaster.
They'll mock up people here.
He the best roaster.
I think
roaster.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, he the best roaster.
I need to pee in my clothes. Listen to that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I give it to him. I'll say, yeah, Dedrick is one of the funniest.
No, I ain't. I just say stupid stuff.
Let me
stuff.
See. Who else?
Dedrick had me crying, laughing. Like, now, see, Alden is funny, but Alden is funny being himself.
Yeah, he right. technically.
If Alden tries to be funny,
then I'm not funny.
He is not funny yeah. at all. And that makes it funnier. When his jokes don't work.
Oh, man.
Let me tell you, this is another memory. There's another member win.
Oh, God.
There's another member win. So we had this little talent show at the church or whatever. So all this time, Alden was bigging it up about what he was going to do. Alden was bigging up about he about to tear it up. He was going to do this comedy, stand-up comedy. And he was laughing at his jokes. And he was like, man, I'm going to kill it when I get up there. Man, that boy got up there at that talent show. When I say that boy ain't hit on nothing.
The jokes was funny. Yeah.
It was horrible.
The jokes was funny.
What was I?
You was there, I believe.
You where was it at? Church?
It was at church.
It was at
you might have been this one when you was might have been
you finna say it.
Playing yeah. cowbell for Tony and Rick.
Doing a tambourine on the hill.
You're playing the scrub board at, for Tony and Rick. They would just give him my new instruments to play while they were playing the main stuff.
Triangle.
Yeah. Anyways.
Oh, shit.
You might not have been there. But anyways, Alden was not hitting on no jokes whatsoever. Right. So it started getting funny because he wasn't funny. And boy, Sheldon was crying, laughing. Sheldon was rolling so hard at Alden. And that's what made everybody laugh because it wasn't funny. And Alden was getting so mad that nobody was laughing at his jokes. So he got mad and he looked at Sheldon. And Sheldon used to wear, back in the day, they still pretty popular now, the basketball rubber band things or whatever.
Oh, yeah, like
bandage
thing.
I still got, one on right now.
Yeah. But anyway, Sheldon had one and it was red, but Sheldon had done wore it so much that it kind of started fading a little bit. So Alden got mad. He was like, I know you ain't laughing at me, old Mr. Pink Rubber Band Man. And it made it even funnier because he said it mad. He was angry when he said it. And I said, man, we laughed so hard at that cat because he wasn't funny. More than laughing at him because he was funny. We weren't laughing at him at all because he wasn't funny. I mean, was funny. We was laughing at him because he wasn't funny. And man, we
yeah, man.
Laughed at that thing all night long, man. And that was a hilarious moment. Man.
I can laugh at it now, but at the time, it was not
he wanted funny. To fight Sheldon.
It was not funny.
He wanted to fight
because every time Sheldon would just walk past me, he would laugh.
He wanted to fight Sheldon. He wanted to fight Sheldon. That joke was so hilarious, man.
And
Pink
Rubber Band Man.
Mr. Pink Rubber Band Man. Oh, I know you're not laughing at me, Mr. Pink Rubber Band Man. And boy, tears was streaming down our faces off that joke. Another incident, Alden incident, was one time at HD rehearsal.
All right, y'all. This is about to be the end of the episode. Right now.
we was clowning the whole time at rehearsal, but we get our work done, but we clowned at the end. Anyways, they was playing around, playing music, and Alden, this one funny thing Alden used to do, and I used to look forward to Alden coming to do it. Alden used to dance all the time at church.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Shout and dance all the time at church. Whether we was at a real service or whether we was at rehearsal, he would do it. And anyway. That used to be so hilarious to me. I think that's what really made me and Alden like made me think he was hilarious. Anyways, with his dancing or whatever. So we were at HD rehearsal and they was playing the music and Adam was dancing and shout, we call it shouting or whatever like that. Even though shouting ain't dancing, he was shouting. Anyways, this cat was at the shouting around the church and this cat caught a double Charlie horse. So he had to collapse on the ground. So we think he's still dancing, but he was serious, like, my legs. Oh, he was in there crying because he had a double Charlotte horse.
Oh, man.
And Red, oh, reliable Red. She Red, is. Red is our cornerstone of the cousins. She is the cornerstone. She may not come when you want her, but she's going to be there.
She ain't going to come when you want her. As a matter of fact, after this, I got to remember when.
she may not come when you want her, but she's going to be there for you. Anyways, she caught that Alden was serious, so she had to help Alden. You know, one of the ways to get the Charlotte horse out is either rub it out or walk it out. So she had to Alden walk around the church with a double Charlotte horse. So Dedrick them still playing music. And it was just the same. And man, God, that joke used to bring me so much joy. I used to cry with laughter, man, because that joke was just like unreal. This is a joke you see on a TV show.
Hilarious.
Some of the stuff that we done been through. But yeah, shout out to Red for always being there and being that cornerstone. But Alden got our credit. We pretty much know where his member win going to be with Red.
My member win with my sister Red. Oh, man. So I was working at the federal courthouse at the time. And I had just got a car, just got a gold Camry. But my sister didn't have a car. And so I would say, all right, you can drop me off to work. Just make sure you here on time. I get off at 2:30. Make sure you here. So here come 2 o'clock. I come. Red, I get off at 2:30. You on the way? Yeah, I'm on the way. All right. Here come 2:25. All right, y'all clocking out. Finna go home. Walk out the door. Ain't no car outside. All right. Let me call and see where she at. Hey, Red, where you at? I'm on the way. I'm right here down the street. All right. 15 minutes go by. Call Red back. Red, where you at? Yeah, I'm right here on Monroe. You ain't on Monroe. You're not on Monroe. Where you at? I'm right here on Monroe. I'm right here on Monroe. I said, Red, I'm standing in the middle of Monroe. You ain't on no Monroe. Guess where she was at, y'all? She was just leaving the house.
I'm standing in the middle of Monroe. I remember that. I remember another one when y'all got into it because Red didn't leave to come get you. And Red was like, you called Red, like, Red, where you at? And she wouldn't answer. First time she didn't answer her cell phone. So you caught the house phone, like, Red, where you at? He's like, I'm on the way. He's like, you lying. She's like, I am on my way. He's like, I know you lying. This how they say lying. Lying. You lying. I ain't lying. I know you lying. We is on the way. That's Tamara. You shut up. You a liar anyway. You know how I know you lying? Because I'm calling you from the house phone. So you can't be on the way. You lying. And man,
oh shoot,
golly, man,
I love my sister so much. It's crazy, man.
Red is Miss Dependable. Whenever you need something, you need somebody to have your back. Red is always there for her cousins. I probably would say Red might be the best cousin to me.
Yeah, she definitely up there.
We brothers. She is Miss Dependable. Whether it's with your kids, whether it's with you or whatever, she is Miss Dependable. And I wish that we would be there for her halfway as much as she's there for us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because man, she is good as gold, man. Yeah. Shout out to Red. Shout out to Abe.
I need Sheldon to just stand in the way so me and Red won't fight. Oh man.
She used to knock Adam behind out every time. And Sheldon,
stop, Red. Please. That's your brother, Red. Think about your mama.
like, man, please, if you don't get out of this way.
Oh, yeah, man, that's man, funny.
We used to have some times back in the day. Yeah. Third good days. Mm, when we was on that third good drive.
We all there, too.
Man, we would roll. We would just laugh and just... It would be laughter from beginning, from the time we got together to the time we left. And
that's true.
We rarely broke
until
up.
Until we got kicked out by Uncle Tony.
Uncle Tony kicked us all out. He was tired of us all being there.
He kicked his own son out, too.
You know I love you.
Move, too.
You know I love you, but you got to do something, man. What you going to do? I don't know, Uncle Tony. I'm trying.
You trying hard enough?
Got to get a job, man. You got to work, man.
I sure do. Man. He's the one that actually started. I think he was the pioneer for setting us out. Far as getting a job, though, for real, right? I think right after he said that, I went and got me a job.
Yeah, definitely making us push beyond what we thought we could do as men or whatever like that, because we were so sheltered,
spoiled
as kids. Mm-hmm. We never had that. You know, your parents wasn't going to tell you that it's time for you to spread your wings.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people would try it harsh because, man, I was thinking about this cat the other day, and I love him. Shout out to him. He is the head of the table, our grandfather. But sometimes granddad approach was a little harsh, and he would fuss, especially when we was teenagers, and you didn't understand it as teenagers. Mm-hmm. But Uncle Tony just had that approach to talk to you and make you see things a different way, to make you want more, whatever like that. So it's like, man, when he came and talked to me, and you know, he knew I was in love with this girl I was going with, and I eventually wanted to marry her, but you know, her family had things. And you know, when you think about it, hindsight 2020, because I have daughters now, we all have children now, you wouldn't want your daughter to be with a guy that didn't have a plan for his life.
Right.
But I knew in my heart that I meant well by this girl and that I wanted what's best for her. But, you know, things kind of got, even with your good intentions, things got out the way and rumors started spreading about me taking her money and all that kind of stuff like that. So it's kind of like, man, how can I show these people that I want to be with this girl and I want to marry this girl? And his approach was, it ain't for you to prove anything to them. It's to prove it to yourself and to get out there and work and to put forth the effort so that you can marry her. And just like D said, that was the springboard of me finally taking the examples of the Uncle Tonys, of my dad, of my mom, of granddad and grandma, and, you know, all the people that laid the foundation for us, because they worked hard to spoil us. Mm-hmm. But you taking that and saying, no, I don't want to be spoiled anymore. I want to be the man that I know that I can be. That was the springboard to help me get myself together. And in that little time, you know, although I still had the battle to fight for the one that I love, and we fought together, shout out to my wife. Here it is. We've been together going on 14 years now, and we've been married going on 11 years. And that's crazy. I never would have gotten to that point. I probably would have gave up on that relationship had it not been for those people in my corner, like the Uncle Tonys, like the Alden, like the Tanisha. You know, that's Tanisha. That's her real name. We call her Red. Red. Like these people in my corner, the Dedricks and the Mikes and the Sheldons and, you know, my parents and stuff like that, you know, we wouldn't have got to that point. So, man, you know, family is so important. So I can't tell you how blessed we are to have the family that we have.
True.
The brotherhood that we have, although we are cousins, you know, in the natural sense, we are brothers. We don't call each other cousins, we call each other brothers, because that's exactly how we feel like we are. We are brothers. And you know, I would not want to be a part of another family more than I'm a part of this family that I am in right now.
Right.
True.
That's true, bro. And I actually kind of talked about that, was actually kind of on our main subject a little bit about what propels you. And, that's one of the things that propelled us into adulthood, so to speak. And now that we're adults, we got, you know, we got dreams and aspirations and stuff. You know, there's a lot of things that can hinder us, but there's also a lot of things that we can use as fuel to propel us. So, D, or I can go. Do you got anything that you feel like is going to propel you or something that fuels you to go to the next level?
I think, I work on that. Propel. Yeah, I got something to propel me to the next level, or when I see myself going to the next level kind of thing. I would say what propels me is I got two things. I would say my children, but noticing the change, but not only noticing it with my eyes, but noticing it like inner self. And I can notice a change with that. So that propels me to keep going. But my children actually inspired me to like take it to the next level because, you know, they're the ones that's coming behind me and other people's children is coming behind them. So I think probably everybody gonna say their family propels them. That's probably number one in their list.
Right. True.
But that would probably be mine. I love my children. I love myself too. But yeah, so they propel me, and also it's the one more thing I'm trying to think of. Y'all go ahead. I'm gonna think of the other one. It's another one though. I got it, something tip of my tongue.
You got something, bro?
Not really. I kind of already said my piece about how just having those right people in your corner,
right,
to push you to the next level is so important. Who you surround yourself with, a guy that I follow, his ministry is a pastor at A.R. Bernard, and he always says that if you show me the five people that you hang around, I can show you your future. Mm-hmm. So that always made me think about the people that I surround myself with. Although we are silly, we are talented, and we are also, we also have drive and we have aspirations to want to be great. Now that you can't just stop it, just want to be great, because everybody want to be great. What are you doing to put that effort in behind it? So you need to make sure the people around you are not just who want better, because everybody wants better, but they're actually working towards being better. And that watching them puts you in the mindset of, oh, they getting it, I got to get it too. Not to compete with them, but it's like we want to continue to hang around the same people that's going somewhere in life. What's that old saying? Birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah.
I agree with what Lajuan said. Now, I am a firm believer in this saying that I thought about. Don't just tell me that I have the potential to do something. Like, show me the way. Push me forward. Propel me forward to do it. Because a lot of times, people say, oh, yeah, I see your potential. I recognize your potential. But potential is like at the borderline of maybe. And I might get there, I might not.
Right.
But help me press forward. And like I said, the people you hang around. That's what the other one I was going to say. I think what propels me is the people that like really truly like believe in me and believe in my craft, not usury, not trying to take nothing away from me or nothing. They just see pure, their intentions are like pure towards me. And that like, that's like extra fuel to my plane to help me push forward.
Right.
I mean, fly forward, whatever.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I agree with what both of y'all are saying. Definitely the children and your significant others, that's always going to be like that top thing that fuels you. And, you know, I just think about me with having two kids and about to make that big jump in about a year. And so what fuels me is like just wanting to do better for them, and not only for them, for myself, because you see so many other people. Like he said, it's not that you trying to compete with people, but you feel like I deserve that, and you might do deserve it, but what are you going to do to get what you so-called deserve? And so you have to work, you gotta execute, you got to have discipline. I'm saying all the stuff that we talk that pastor talk about in church, because all of that stuff rings true in everyday life. You got to execute. You got to be disciplined. You got to have a plan. If you ain't got no plan, everything going to go to naught, because as long as I'm thinking about it, I'm just going to be thinking about it. If I don't execute the plan, or if I don't have discipline about my execution, it's all going to falter somewhere. And so that's what I think what propels me, my family, and just that desire to be where I deserve to be. Because you just, everybody always repeat this, you're a joint heir with Christ, and you a royal priesthood and all mm-hmm. the other stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with that, you have to, that might be something that you deserve, but you also have to earn that same name that you claim it. And it's just not, you know, in when it comes to God. God wants you to not only have that same thing in heaven, but he wants you to live like a king in a whatever y'all want to call yourself. I'm a king and all that stuff. You a king, bro. You a queen, bro. Like, no, I mean, I deserve great. I ain't trying to be no king or nothing like that.
I don't subscribe to all of that. Queens and kings and divas and all that kind of stuff. Like
I
that.
Knew it was going there. That's why I set it up.
Junk.
I
just locked, so corny.
I did a D Wade Christmas
that
play.
Junk is so
just
corny.
Lobbed it up. I knew he was going to take it.
That gives you a sense. That gives, and that's what's wrong with the church now. That gives us a sense of we think we deserve something.
Right, right.
Something is due to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, ain't, as my pops always tell me, son, life don't owe you no living.
Right.
We don't deserve the life that we have, but you give yourselves all these titles and princes and prince and docs and diva gowns and all this kind of foolishness man. And you ain't worked for nothing, man. You don't deserve nothing, man. Your hard work is what's gonna prepare you to that thing.
Right.
And I think, and I don't know if you finish it.
No, you good, bro. I just lobbed it up there. D Wade to LeBron.
But I think one thing, and this was an issue for me. We have to beware of fueling our drive with false fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is false fuel is I had got to a point of I was driven not for the benefit of myself or for my wife or for my kids or the people that's been there for me. My fuel that drove me was to prove something to somebody, to prove right. them
yeah.
wrong.
Yeah, man.
You doubted me? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take that doubt
right.
and I'm going to show you, and it's going to blow up in your face.
Right,
and you
right.
know what ended up happening? It blew up in my face yeah. because my intentions wasn't pure.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture talks about in James, how God says you ask for something, but you ask amiss
right.
because you're asking in the wrong spirit
right,
or you're
right.
asking with the wrong intention. So I'm not going to give it to you because you're asking in the wrong spirit.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that we're seeking after, we got to check our spirit before we ask for it.
That's right.
Because that false fuel would burn out quicker than you even know. And the next thing you know, you still stuck in the rut. You still looking around people. And most of the stuff that you're trying to prove to people, you're trying to prove something to people who got a fake image they own self.
Right. That's true, bro.
Mm-hmm.
They got the filters on Facebook. They done took 13 pictures before they chose one, put a filter on it, then post it.
Right.
You trying to compare yourself to a picture that has been edited.
Right. Yeah, man.
And you can't do that. You can't have that kind of mindset or whatever like
right.
that. You got to stay focused in your own lane. I will be successful in my own lane. Long
right.
as I stay true to the game and I stay true to who God made me and I hold my integrity, I will succeed. Like I said on yesterday, that just when we're following God's plan and we're following instruction, success is inevitable. You can't
right,
help
right.
but be successful.
Right.
But when you take your eyes off the ball trying to prove something to somebody else, I'm not telling you something I heard, I'm telling you what I know. That crap will burn up in your face, man.
Right, right.
I spent 4 to 5 years being in ministry trying to prove something to other pastors.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Trying to prove something to other churches that, you know, we just as good as any other church. And you know when I finally found my release? I found my release when I started embracing who I was,
mm-hmm.
start shedding off everybody what I should be and just be who I am.
Right.
And when you can be who you are, everything will work out for you. And then you will start being driven. Like Deirdre said, the more you see the improvement within yourself, that'll encourage you, man. Okay, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because it's working for me. Mm-hmm. But to fill yourself with that false fuel, that junk will blow up every time, man, because people, they're not going to show you their true, genuine self. Most people ain't going to show you that. They're just going to show you that perfected image. And that perfected image ain't worth nothing because you comparing yourself to something that's been edited.
Yeah, man. Mm.
You comparing yourself to preachers and pastors and musicians who look like they got themselves together because of a picture on social media.
Yep.
When the truth of the matter is, they ain't got nothing together.
Right. Yeah, man.
So, man, you got to take your eyes off of people, man, and focus on yourself and allow that to drive you. You don't deserve nothing. Stop calling yourself a diva. Stop calling yourself a goddess, because that's what diva mean, goddess. Stop calling yourself a prince and all that kind of stuff. I know they say we are royal priesthood, but it's the work that come with that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like I said, that junk, all I don't stop calling the junk. I feel like I'm just talking to us random. Like I have to say all the time, these guys who led the pathway, somebody as great as R.J. Washington was, this guy was known for his grind.
Yeah.
He was an evangelist. He was a foot soldier because before he came a general.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of us want to be generals when we did training. Yeah. Right. We hadn't been through no training camp. That's it right there. We ain't been through boot camp.
Right.
So I tell you in a minute, I ain't there yet. Don't call me doc. Mm-hmm. Don't call me bishop. Don't call me no overseer. Because I'm struggling trying to be a pastor now. Because
right.
I know I got issues I need God to work on me with.
Right.
And it's my daily grind that gets me to the place that I'm in. And it's my transparency. But it's these people that putting thrones in their pulpit, doing all this stuff, thinking they all that in a bag of chips. And here it is, life gonna come and smack you in your mouth. If 2020 ain't smack you, oh, guess what? They sister come in and her name is 2021. And she finna smack you in your mouth.
Oh, boy.
So be driven by pure thoughts.
Yeah, man.
By pure intent.
Yeah, man.
By the right things or whatever like that. And, man, and you will go so far.
If y'all didn't know, I intentionally do a live up and let them dunk the ball.
He knew that's a button for me. What he's talking, man. You know, it's crazy, but man, just I think as fellas, as bros, we just gotta keep pushing each other to be who we are. You're gonna make your mistakes, you're gonna have your failures, but you don't have to get to that place of desperation because you got somebody you can lean on.
True.
We can call on one another, we can call on family, we can call on our significant others to help get us through what we're currently going through. We're not in this alone or whatever like that. You don't have to make the worst mistake if you made a little mistake. You can stop at the little mistake and turn around and talk to somebody and get the help you need before you make the big mistake.
That's true.
So just depending on those people that you know you can count on, not those people you want to depend on, because we got people we want to depend on and then people who we know we can depend on. Don't people depend on who you want to, depend on who you know.
Right.
And those people will help get you to the next level. Our time is up. It's been an hour. That quick. Ooh. Good conversation.
Yeah, man.
Good laughs with my brothers. So, you know, I really appreciate this time and the laughs, because I didn't know how much I needed. I had a pretty rough day today, and you know, just to be around my guys, just to talk and laugh, really, I'm leaving feeling pretty good. So
you welcome.
I appreciate y'all boys. So
you're telling me what? Fellow
on the beat. Anyways. All right. So I want to once again thank y'all for. All right, that was episode 25. Remember when? What Fuse You featuring 5702. I hope that y'all laughed a little bit, that y'all enjoyed the conversation, that y'all got something out of the conversation. My time is coming gone. I want to thank you all for listening. As always, thank you for being a faithful part of the Frustrated Black Christian Tribe. And I'll see you all next week for another episode of Frustrated Black Christian Podcast. Remember to be positive, productive, and always continue to progress. All right? We'll see you next time. Peace.